Hey, it's Aaron Hart filling in for Jay Marvin, and we're working on we're going to try for the ACLU. We're trying for the woman who got bit by the dogs, and I'm going to talk about that too. We've got Bruce Fein, wonderful guest, lined up to talk about some issues that I have with Obama over prisoners and the way that they're treated and the rule of law. So I guess the rule of law is kind of a topic this morning. And John lined up Media Matters for us, and we're going to go to town on that one too. So, and we've got the teabagging party tomorrow. So we've got a full plate of a full menu, a complement of stuff, even some late hors d'oeuvres added into the mix. So I'm looking forward to talking to you. David in Denver, welcome to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. We'll have to see if you have your sense of humor working this morning, but I kind of caught one thing you said earlier.
Sure.
If the fella calling in about Mormon religion was a little bit sensitive, it might have been because you mentioned that show, Big Love, which
yes.
I think was kind of a touchy topic. But you said that, well, you make fun of all religions, but I'm pretty sure that you would never make fun of Islam.
Actually, there is an Islamic comedian, though. I forget his name, but he does make fun of it. And that's my point was. But
there's one Islamic comedian. And you know,
I'm sure there are several. There's a woman I can think of off the top of my head. There's a guy working out of Chicago. I don't remember their names.
Infidels never make fun of Islam.
I beg pardon?
Infidels never make fun of Islam. And in other words, if it had been a Muslim calling in, you know, you have to admit, you would be saying, oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I would have been saying, are there any Islamic comedians? What's the name of the Islamic comedian in Chicago is what I would have asked him.
Fun of other
but that's what I would have
religion.
Asked him. You asked me what I would have said, and I told you I would have said, oh, is there an Islamic comedian? Who is it? Because I'll have him on immediately.
Right, but I mean, we're most people, even like.
Wait a minute. I'm still confused because, back up. Because if you're LDS, I'd really like to know from you, are there any Mormon comedians? And two, how did I make fun of the Mormon religion by asking if there's a comedian there?
The Mormons make fun of themselves, like with those Jell-O molds they always make. Apparently that's something real popular, making Jell-O salad. And I've heard them joke about that. I mean, they don't have they're not touchy people, in other words. They're very convicted in their faith, and they don't take personally, you know, people making fun of them. That was just...
I didn't make fun of them. I made fun of the fact that there are no Mormon comedians.
But still, my point stands that people will not make fun of Islam, even though there's plenty to make fun of.
And what would you make fun of? What would be your Islam
joke?
What
about the fact that Muhammad married a six-year-old girl and consummated the marriage when she was nine?
And I don't think that's necessarily true, but good luck
with
that.
It is. It's true.
No.
And you know, talk about teabagging.
And how is that funny at all?
If it
was true, teabagging is funny, however. Teabagging is funny because right-wing conservatives obviously don't know what it means. That's why they've been sitting there going, we're going to go teabagging. This will be fun.
No,
and it's
Aaron,
like, whoa, dude.
Aaron, what is funny
do
is
you
that
have any idea
Muhammad,
what you're saying?
His sexual practices put teabagging to shame.
Oh, see, this is what you don't understand. You don't understand. See, here's what you don't understand. You don't understand what's funny, so you're gone. Goodbye. I'm not going to waste time talking to somebody with no sense of humor. Art in Aurora, welcome and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I am well, thank you.
Hey, I was kind of wondering if maybe you and John could get maybe a J-Cam hooked up.
A J-Cam?
Yeah, you know, a J-Cam so we can check up on Jay and see how he's doing.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't know. That would be up to Jay and whether he wanted one. I know he's had some pictures of his hospital room and other things put on Facebook, but I don't know whether they would do that. But I wish him well, and I hope he gets back in the chair as soon as he can.
I'm sure he would go along with it. But my real question, actually it's not a question. I was listening to Slanthead Peter Boyles on KHOW, and they were bringing up the idea of fiat money. And fiat money is paper money that's not backed by anything, which is why I suspect they want them to stop spending. But money hasn't been backed by gold or securities for, like, many years.
I know.
And so they're trying to put a spin on an old idea that's not really worthy of why they're doing it. So, you know, I just kind of – they also said that the teabag party was not a – partisan issue. Yeah.
Well, here's what it is. It's partisan, and they don't even understand that what they're protesting are the policies of the Republicans. So it's really kind of a sad protest all around, actually. I would be embarrassed to be seen at it if I supported it. I would not support it ever in this lifetime or the next, probably, if there is a next.
Really?
No, not ever.
Thanks. That's all I have to say.
Thanks. Jason in Morrison, thank you for joining us on AM760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Hey, I had some information about that Weld County thing.
Oh, you mean sure.
The I'm an ACLU member, so I guess it doesn't really call it me as officially ACLU, but I read the article that the ACLU sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And the sole reason for that was because they went in and seized 1,500 tax returns just because of a few that they suspected.
And that's the problem.
So, that is the problem entirely. And what the caller had brought it up before didn't really understand is they didn't know who was illegal and who wasn't.
No.
So, that's it's an invasion of privacy. I mean, it could have been his tax return.
Yeah, and we're talking a little bit about that ethnicity this morning. And if you had a Latino surname and your taxes were seized and you weren't an illegal, how would you feel? I mean, then everybody knows your tax business. And tax records are sacrosanct. You know, they're not supposed to be looked at. The government isn't supposed to be able to go in and go, you know what, I don't like you. I'm going to go get your tax records and screw you up. You know what I mean? They can't do that. And that's part of the problem.
It's the same reason that, the government can't illegally wiretap you. They can't.
Well, they did under Bush, but yeah. Reed Nerider, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, an attorney with Jacobs, Chase, and Frick, Kleinhoff, and Kelly of Denver, who was working on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union, said tax records should be private. And because you have a suspicion that someone filed taxes with an Hispanic tax preparer might be doing something wrong, does not give you license to seize apparently they seized 5,000 tax records and look for a needle in a haystack. And
sure.
This was the possible. They went through, the deputies seized the 5,000 records. Then they found evidence of roughly 1,330 suspected illegal immigrants with false or stolen Social Security numbers. The Internal Revenue Service requires everyone to file them regardless of citizenship. So, there may have been some people doing things illegal. That's true. But you can't break into some place and seize everybody's personal and private information and go, oh, some of you are crooks, let's go, without more information. Now, with the guy with Texas, as I understand it, I can understand if they went after his particular tax records. Do you see what I mean? Or his particular Social Security number. That I can understand.
If you have a list of names, you have a list of
or Social Security numbers that are being used in a false manner.
Sure. Get a warrant and go in and get those, but don't seize the whole lot just because, somebody else may be doing something wrong. I mean, that's just.
Well, and here's what else they did. They hurt the tax preparer, Amalia Cerrillo, because she doesn't necessarily know that these people are using illegal Social Security numbers. She's just filling it out. And she said she was relieved and happy, but she hopes to rebuild her business. But this has been decimated because who would trust her after this? You know what I mean? Because her information was just seized.
Sure. Yeah, her information was seized. But the other bigger problem to this is what a lot of people don't understand, especially the caller that called in before, was that our laws apply to everyone, whether they're here legally, they're here on vacation, you're here on a visa, you still have to follow the law.
Yeah.
And that also means that the government has to follow the law. So,
let's hope so.
I mean, if you go on vacation to Canada and you break one of their laws, and you're going to have to pay the price. Our civil liberties are extended to everybody, regardless of why they're here. And that's really important for a lot of people to understand. They just say, well, they're illegal, so we can just do whatever we want to. We can torture them. We can,
Which is why I've got a problem with the Obama administration and the way they're behaving on Bagram in Afghanistan. I just don't think there's any reason to continue those policies of the Bush administration in terms of rendition and other things. And we're going to talk about that with Bruce Fine next hour, who wrote a searing piece in Slate that I picked up on, and John very kindly got the guest. So it is one of those things that I think, reasonable people have to look at this and say, okay, I don't like the fact that people are stealing Social Security and stealing identities. Believe you me, my identity was, I had one of my creditors, one of the people I pay, right, had an unlawful worker who was stealing everybody's identities, you know. Nice, good. So, you know, I mean, it's just crazy, and you don't want your trust to be breached ever, ever, ever. But your tax returns in particular being used by the government or abused by the government is a horrible breach of trust. It's awful. And you can't just go in and say, well, you might be illegal, I'm going to seize this. You can't do that. That's just not true. You can't necessarily do. And the other problem is, illegals are asked to pay taxes. So therefore, are their tax returns less private?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, you just can't start going in and raiding people's houses, you know, tapping people's phones. I mean, you just can't do that just because you think that somebody may be doing something wrong or somebody may be an illegal alien. I'm not real happy with, you know, the illegal situation either, but this isn't the way to solve it, you know.
And that's a very good point. Thank you so much for your call. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin this morning. It's 303-713-7600. We're going to keep checking into this, and I'm going to bring a dog into the mix, too. Roar! Yeah, dogs rule, and they're coming in because we have a first dog. Bo is officially coming to the White House today. Yay. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Time for Progressive Traffic and John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. We're talking about the illegal seizure of the records of tax filers at Amelia's Translation and Tax Service in my old stomping grounds of Greeley. And, you know, I grew up in that area outside in the country. And it's just really... looks like it's a violation of the subpoena. They didn't have the goods, and so that's a problem. See, now charges had already been filed against 60 people. Some defendants pled guilty to identity theft and criminal impersonation, and Hyatt said he would not overturn those cases, but expected that some of those defendants would file litigation. This is the problem. You can't violate the law when you're prosecuting the law, and that's... just that, for that, as far as I can tell. Matt in Denver, welcome to AM 760, Colorado's, I guess it's Matt in Arvada. Welcome and thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron, good show today.
Thank you.
The unfunny caller before who didn't think anybody made fun of Muslims, he needs to tune into HBO and watch Bill Maher sometime.
Yeah.
He rips into Muslims just about every week, just like he does any other religion. I think about a month or two ago, he had a new rules segment where he was talking about how the Department of Homeland Security can prevent terrorism by getting more Muslim men laid. And he proceeded to show a picture contest they were having in Riyadh for the best-looking goat in the country, where they were taking pictures of the winner's rear end.
Oh, no. That man is shameless. But he makes fun of everybody, see? And that's... see... In order to be funny, you have to go along with what people suspect is true, and people or you know what I mean. You have to make fun of the stereotype, which he's indirectly doing too by that.
Yeah, you know, the stereotype is that they get angry at everything, even the slightest criticism, which for the most part is true. Which is why I'm always ripping into Muslims to calm down. There's nothing wrong with a strongly worded letter to the Times.
Well, I think that everybody feels like their ox is gored occasionally, or maybe their pig is stuck. But the reality is, I think we all need to laugh more at each other. And the more we can laugh, and the problem is some humor just isn't funny. And you know, for example, I don't think Andrew Dice Clay is very funny often. But people try to be outrageous and funny, and maybe Glenn Beck will do that too. Certainly, he's been hilarious when he's been emotionally. And maybe here's what he was offended about, was me making fun of Glenn Beck, going, "I'm so worried for my country. I just care so much." You know, and I even pointed out that I'm very emotional too as a host, and you know, sometimes maybe people think I miss the mark, but he's really dialed into I don't know where. You know, it's like 1-800 take a Valium.
Yeah, but there's a group of religious people who just think that everyone else's faith is open game, and anytime someone criticizes their faith, theirs is supposed to be above criticism.
Well, exactly, and the reality is we all should be better able perhaps to make fun of each other without being offensive. I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm talking about, you know, and again, Bill Maher crosses the line every single day, but he does so because that's his shtick. You see, I mean, Lenny Bruce could be extremely offensive, but he was brilliant, and he was funny, and he was smart. And I don't know how, I think it's very difficult to explain humor, particularly if you're not funny. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's part of our objectors is if you don't have a sense of humor, it might be a little difficult to see why the rest of us are laughing.
Well, and it's hard this time. In this age politically, it's really hard for right wingers like Glenn Beck to find anything to laugh at.
Well, except
their policies have utterly failed.
Well, and it's that's why maybe they are going for teabagging, because that might be more
exactly.
fun. Leroy in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. Thanks, Matt.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you today?
I am well.
Good. The reason I was calling is I understand Greeley is your old stomping ground.
I have lived outside of Greeley, yes. I have gone to school within the confines of the Greeley city limits.
I also am from Greeley. I was raised in Greeley, and I was born in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't surprise me one bit because of the mentality of the people in power in Greeley. I think that Greeley and Weld County in general, you know, is pretty racist.
That was my experience of it growing up, is there was a lot of racism, particularly bigotry against Latin Americans.
Well, yeah, and, you know, like, especially, like, I'm of Mexican descent, and I'm bilingual. Mm-hmm. I was born here in the United States. My grandmother spoke to me in Spanish, and I responded in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I can speak both languages, and I know that when migrant kids would come into to school and they spoke only Spanish, when I would translate for them, the teacher would tell me, you know, Leroy, you're in America now. You're supposed to speak English, you know, and I was born here in the United States, and I speak both languages, you know, and as a result of those kids not speaking English, they were put in a class with the mentally handicapped kids, and their learning abilities were interfered with, and they learned at a slower pace because of the environment.
Oh, listen, one of my first experiences with stone-cold racism was when I was at an elementary school. They treated the migrant kids in the manner in which you're describing. They stuck them in the so-called mentally retarded classes.
Right.
Their only issue was they did not speak English.
Right.
So I was asked to help tutor them, and because I grew up partially speaking Spanish. So I said, okay, I will. And, you know, we helped. And it was just, it was devastating to me that it really was enlightening to realize these kids are as smart as I am. They just don't speak English, you know?
Exactly.
And it was really amazing to me the way that they were treated and the condescending way that the teachers addressed them. And it's real. Anybody who says it isn't real has not been sitting in a school, in an elementary school in Colorado, by God.
It's been there. It's there. I've been there, done that.
Know.
Also, and in fact, when I was an apprentice electrician, I went and applied at a construction, you know, one of the big construction companies, and you probably know the biggest construction company in Greeley.
I might.
You know, and with the initials HP.
Yeah.
And I applied as an electrician, and they flat told me, well, no, I don't think that would be good for you. I think that you would be a better laborer than, you know, an electrician.
This is precisely the problem with that.
To me, the people there see Mexicans as a way of making money and running them through the criminal criminal system, you know, and making money off of them. You know, that's why they want the immigration detention facility there. That's why you see so many Mexicans going through their court systems, probation, parole, you know, all that stuff. You know, I mean, you see they get a harsher sentences than the Anglos.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I moved out of there when that happened to me. I was 18 years old when I left Greeley, and I only go back if I have to.
It's not, you know, I loved a lot of the people there, but it is not my favorite town. I agree.
Oh.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it.
I just had to get that off my chest.
No, I understand. I experienced the same thing growing up there. I understand completely. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, speaking on 760 AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. That was a little awkward, Aaron. Now we're going to go. It's time to go for Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Then we're going to talk about the Fort Collins dog owner who was hurt in a pit bull attack. I have some searing words to say about this. This really is a pet issue with me, so to speak. Today's show is full of double entendres, I guess. It's 303-713-7600. Don't forget Bruce Fine and Media Matters all coming up in this show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Thank you for joining me on AM 760. We're talking about all kinds of different things this morning, and I'm going to add one more to the mix in addition to the seizure of the ID theft investigative and tossing out of those tax records, I think appropriately. We're going to talk to Bruce Fine about Obama's policies on prisoners in Afghanistan, among other things. He's calling him Czar Obama. I wouldn't go that far, but I do want to hear from the loyal opposition. And Bruce Fine, you may remember him from testifying regarding the abuses of the Bush administration in terms of our national security interests. And then we will also be talking about, you know, to Media Matters about certain excesses of the current and past and present and future administration. So we'll talk to them and about the media and about the teabag party, teabagging. We're going to have teabagging. All right. Now, the other thing is, Fort Collins dog owner was hurt in a pit bull attack. Now, here's a pet peeve of mine, and I love this little Bichon Frise. Looks so cute. Louis is just handsome. And I have a small dog, so this particularly hits home with me. And yes, I hate to say it, but I do look, we're all, you know, have our prejudices. We try not to have them, but when I look at a pit bull, I worry. You know what I mean? I do worry about that. I do not particularly cotton to pit bulls. I don't like them particularly. So, you know, I don't mean anything by it. I do not like it, but it is just, I don't like it in myself, I mean. But I get worried when I see a pit bull. And I've had one pit bull start to come charge us and come close to us. And I quick picked up Pedro and figured if the dog bites me, and I stuck my rear towards the dog because I figured if I'm going to get bit, I want the most ample part of me with the most fat till I get bit. Okay, it's pretty taut, but it's not that. You know, I mean, there's a little extra, perhaps, love there. So if the dog wants to bite me, you know, I didn't want my arm bit, for an example. So anyway, they scare me, bottom line. Now, here's what happened. Two pit bulls were caught on tape. The tape is pretty mild by comparison to what it sounds like happened. They attacked the Bichon Frise in Fort Collins, bit the owner on the hand as she began to fight them off. Now, here's the sentence that caught my eye that made me mad. No one, not 10-pound dog Louie, not the two pit bulls, had on leashes. Now, I know we all like to be pioneers, and we like to be, you know, farmers, and we like to not think that dogs ever need leashes. But the reality is, because the Bichon ran out of a garage. At least the Bichon was in a garage where supposedly the was safe. But see, here's what happens when you leave a garage door open. Some nitwit who walks by who does not have their dog leashed could allow their dogs to run in at you and charge your dog. So this is why I get angry. I really do not like people who, you know, it's like I don't like bikers who don't pay attention to the law and try to kill you in a car. I do not like people who don't have leashes on their dogs. I don't care what a good owner you think you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't think how well you think you have your dog under control. All you have to do is look at that polar bear video eating that woman for lunch, and she was saved. But still, animals are animals. People are people. And no matter how much you think you have your dog under control, you have no idea what might happen to that dog on a given day. You have no idea when you're going to be charged by a pit bull. You have no idea when something may happen. So here's my message to you, especially if you live in an urban environment. Now, if you live in a rural area or you're in your own backyard with a closed enclosed fence, then let your dog off the leash by all means. That's dandy. But if you live in an urban environment and you don't have a leash on your dog, then you're a dope. You're a stone, and you're irresponsible. You're an idiot. So leash your dogs, please. I don't care if you're the victim or the perpetrator. Just get a leash for your dog. Louie could have been recalled really easily. Just pick him up and get him out of the way. Do not, and the pit bulls should never, ever, ever, ever have been off a leash, ever. If it were me, I'd give you a $1,000 fine every time I caught you. And maybe then people would realize. I see him in the park near my house all the time. Oh, well, my dog's just friendly. He comes when I call. No, he won't. Not if there's a big steak sitting in front of him. Not if there's some distraction. Not if there's a pit bull trying to bite his neck. He's not going to come when you call him, okay? He's an animal. He will go into the wild. So you know what? Grow up. Realize that having a dog is a huge responsibility. We agree to take care of them until the end of their lives. Therefore, live up to your responsibility as a dog lover and a dog owner. Get a leash and use it. Damn it. 303-713-7600. Rich in Greeley. Welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. This is Rick. How are you?
All right, fine, Rick. Good.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the last gentleman that had called about growing up in Greeley. I live there now. Obviously, I'm calling from there.
Okay.
I do agree that it is kind of a city where there definitely is some racial problems in the city, as you said, mainly directed towards the Latin American community. And I find that really kind of odd about living there. I really dislike that aspect of the town. And so I agree with you. I think it's not right what they did with these people, but the point I wanted to make, and I'm hoping I can say this in the nicest way possible, is that I think a lot of times the people that are the racist, generally we think of like the white people being racist towards the minority. They have in their head a picture of what that minority is, you know, some stereotype that they try to pigeonhole them into,
mm-hmm.
and it's unfortunate, but sometimes that is the truth. And what I don't like is that when those minorities then play into that stereotype, almost they become the stereotype that the more racial people think of them as, and so then it becomes this really horrible circle you can't get out of.
Are you talking about things like Ask a Mexican writes about? I don't know what you're talking about exactly.
No, it's. I've got to think of a really good example, but like I said, I'm trying to think of like a really nice way to say this. But
well, Carlos Mencia talks a lot about different perceptions that everybody has of everybody else.
Sure.
I mean, he's not a Mexican, and he always gets mistaken for one. So
okay. He
talks about some of that in his fine show on Comedy Central. But, you know, I think part of the problem is that, you know, one person's stereotype is another person's cultural way of being. You know what I mean?
It's like, I agree.
You know, it's like white people are known to be a little uptight. I mean, I've been sitting here making fun, I suppose, of white people indirectly about, because I have not seen a person of color go, we're going to a teabag party. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't know why that is, but I guess, and I've been saying that right wing, I'm sure there's some ignorant, you know, Democrats who might go, ooh, teabagging, let's go. But I don't see many of them out there at the moment. So we all have to watch stereotyping people, I suppose.
Sure, I agree. And that's kind of what I was saying, is that everybody on both sides of the fence, whether you are the racist or not, you need to think about what exactly is that image you either are presenting or you are being racist against, because that's the ultimate problem, and we need to, you know, figure a way to just get past all of that. I mean, we've elected an African-American president, for crying out loud. I think that's a good sign that we can put all of these silly things behind us.
Well, one would hope. But, you know, he got in trouble. What did he use the word? What did he say, moron or retard? He said something that got everybody really emotionally upset from Special Olympics. You know,
it was on Jay Leno.
It was on Jay Leno.
He said something about bowling a score, and he wanted to – he could make the Special Olympics. Yes, and people
that
got
was
out
it.
Of
that was it. That was
yeah.
it. And he, but he's also used words like the other ones. I can't remember what the context
sure.
was. But we all make dumb mistakes, you know. And there's sometimes when he says things about women and stuff that I go, maybe a little misogyny there. Hopefully that's coming from your grandfather, not from you. But you know, and some of us like to shock, and some of us like to. I mean, I was making fun this morning, definitely. But I really still have a call out. If anybody knows of a Mormon comedian, please let me know, because I would like to have them on as a guest.
I don't know of any.
I don't either. So we'll continue the hunt for the great.
I mean,
Glenn Beck, as far as I know, isn't intentionally a comedian just yet. But there we go. Thank you very much for your call.
You're very welcome.
It's 7:46. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. And about dog lover, I don't mean to malign pit bull owners. Look, you may be the most responsible dog owner ever. But you know what? I got to tell you something. Get a leash for your dog. Steve, and I think you're in Denver. Welcome to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hey, a couple things. First of all, Obama, you know, he's such a funny guy. I don't know if you've seen him for the Easter reading the story.
Was he? He was reading the Where the Wild Things Are by Morris Sendak, one of my favorite childhood stories ever. That's such a funny story, you know, with the weird monsters. He was doing a monster.
I know it.
He was great, wasn't he? I hadn't seen that until last night. I was thoroughly charmed, I have to say.
Well, so was my wife. And, you know, I mean, we would have seen that in our other president. I think he would spend 5 minutes. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Five minutes for the Easter celebration, and then he'd be gone. I mean, you know, the thing about Obama, he's willing to, show that he's a real human being, you know? And like his joke about the Special Olympics, he was just, you know, saying, you know, I'm not very good at what I do.
Exactly, but he wasn't trying to say all people from the Special Olympics are bad. He was saying that he bowls like he's a terrible bowler, and he used a very common mistake. Any of us might have done that, and I agree. Look, I'm not going to be free of it. You're not going to be free of it. All of us are going to step on each other's toes sometimes. But what I loved about yesterday, and I have to say, when I saw the clips of it last night, I was thinking, you know, we really have a dad in chief. And I had never seen that side of him, the daddy side, the one who read to Malia and Sasha and who made funny faces. And, you know, that stare that he had to make everybody laugh. And his wife saying and First Lady Michelle Obama saying, you're scaring them again. You know what I mean? It's like, it was just like. I love this. We have real people in the White House again who don't look like they were manufactured for prime time, you know? It's like, yay.
Did you see him running with his dog in the White House?
No.
Oh, that was so sweet. Him and the dog were running away from the camera.
Oh,
And yeah, he was in a full run with his dog on a leash. But you know, I wanted to tell you real quick, the other day I was in Denver, had my dog on a leash. She's a red heeler.
Yeah.
And the lady comes out and she said, I'd like to see your dog. I'm like, yeah, sure. And as she's down there, her door's open a crack. Here comes her little dog, about 2 pounds, running out the door and starts biting my dog, you know?
Oh, no.
And you know how sometimes those little dogs are.
They can be pretty ferocious. My little terrier, when you're on his block, will let you know about it, you know? And because, you know, there's a real sensitive area when you're when you want your dog to bark when strangers come to your door, but then they bark at people across the street. You're like, hey, dude, he's not that close. It's okay. But it's really hard to teach the distinction to a dog, I think, don't you?
It is.
But little dogs can be fierce. You're right. So what did you do?
My dog kind of I turned around and just kind of gave a nip at the little dog to, you know, stop it. But that was the overriding thing. You know, my dog, she's not a biter at all. But she, She's like, oh, my gosh, does she have rabies shots? Well, I'm thinking to myself, it was interesting because it was like her little dog, not on a leash, running up to my dog, biting the heck out of her, and she's asking me if my dog has...
How sad is that? It's like, and do you own a leash, lady? And why do you leave your door open and let your little dog run outside? My sister would have added the word dropkick. But anyway, okay. Thank you for your call. It's 7:51. Now I've offended all the people. But I have a small dog, just for the record. I don't call him a dropkick dog, though. I find that offensive, and I laugh at my sister every time she does it. 303-713-7600. It's 7:51 in the Mile High. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. And here's Progressive Traffic with John Turk.
You've never wondered how far you could punt a Yorkie Terrier?
No! I would not kick my dog, John, ever.
Okay.
Okay, only if I thought he would fly high. No, never mind. Never mind, Pedro. I'm just kidding.
8841.
Go. Hi, Mike Spear, Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage, joins us. Michael, what's going on at 303-749-2770? That's how people reach you. What's going on with the market today, and what's your intelligent investment guidance for the day?
Well, I've been listening to your intelligent conversations today about your yapping little dog.
My lovely, sweet, deep-voiced 13-pound dog. Thank you very much.
You have a yapper?
I do not have a yapper or a dropkick.
Take him teabagging. He'll go nuts for that.
No! I am not taking my dog teabagging. He sniffs at rear ends enough, thank you.
I understand. Well, let's take a look at the... I couldn't believe you guys this morning. How funny. Anyway, and that clip you paid.
We're 12-year-olds.
I had to pull off the road.
I know, we're 12-year-olds. We can't help it.
Well, I fit right into that whole program then.
Apparently.
We got weak retail sales for the month of March, weaker than expected. As a matter of fact, retail sales we were expecting to see for March increased 0.3%, and indeed they dropped 1.1%. So the consumer continues to have some challenges economically speaking. That's pulling the markets down right now, Aaron. The Dow is down 111. The NASDAQ Composite is down 12.6. The S&P is down 11. And the Russell, sometimes we call that the Marvin, is down 8.5. So we are seeing a bit of a pullback today. So people need help with their investment guidance.
Yes,
we can provide
it
at Presidential Brokerage.
Good, and we like that. It's 303-749-2770, and Michael Spear has a sense of humor, and we all know that now, too. Great, as if we didn't before.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Presidential Brokerage, and Mike Spear, Executive Vice President, 303-749-2770. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Aaron. Have a great day.
You bet, you too, and my dog is not dropkick. 7:56 it is. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Filling in for Jay Marvin, and we've been having kind of a mixture of silly and searing today, and we're talking about dogs. We're talking about leashes. Please keep your dog on a leash in an urban environment, would you? Please. It's just, and the Obamas have made a donation, by the way, to the ASPCA because they did not get a rescue dog. They got a Portuguese water dog, and who I love them. They're very curly. They're fun. They're sweet dogs, generally speaking, although they can be a bit rambunctious. I walked one named Hubert that used to run me into light poles for grins because when he got mad. But that's why he needed a walker and a trainer. But anyway, I wasn't the trainer. 303-713-7600. Ray and Aurora, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And we've got Bruce Fine coming up. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ray? How are you?
Hey, good.
I think the president's
doing 30 seconds.
Job, and he's trying to be friends with everyone and talk to everyone and get everyone together. And he's going to make a few mistakes verbally, so what?
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I agree. Although I do have some issues with his imperialist weeding of executive power. We'll talk more about that coming up on the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.